It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The Pennsylvania Systems of School Assessment, or PSSA, is an annual standards-based test. Students in grades 3 through 8 and grades 4 through 11, or I should say grades 5, 8, and 11, are assessed in writing, and students in grades 3 through 8 are assessed in reading. The tests have no bearing on students' grades, and some parents are questioning the need for the PSSA. One of those is Kathy Newman, an associate professor of English at Carnegie Mellon University, who is opting out of the PSSA for her son, who attends Pittsburgh Linden, a K through 5 magnet school in Point Breeze. She joins us in Studio A. Kathy Newman, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul.
And I want to clarify again the grades that those tests are given in. It's grades 3 through 8 that are assessed in reading and math, as well as some other grades.
That is my understanding, yes.
And grades 5, 8, and 11 are assessed in writing. Grades 4, 8, and 11 are assessed in science. So that in and of itself is confusing.
It is.
But hopefully folks get an understanding of the idea here. The question is, why are you opting out of PSSA testing for your son?
Well, the tests, as you said, don't grade the students. They grade the school. The schools are assessed on the basis of how the majority of the students do on the test. And what that does is it puts a tremendous amount of pressure on the school to make sure that the kids do well. So what I've seen, my son's in third grade, so this is the first year he's taking the test, and I've seen such a difference between second and third grade. There's been so much teaching to the test. I would say 80% of his reading homework this year has been drills for the reading portion of the PSSA.
And why is there so much of a drilling process?
Well, again, I mean, the school understandably wants to score well. They need to do something called make adequate yearly progress, which is a benchmark set by No Child Left Behind, a bill, a law that's about 11 years old. My son's school actually did not make adequate yearly progress last year, even though, in my opinion, it's an excellent school. It has very involved parents, wonderful teachers. It's a fantastic school. I don't think that the scores reflect the quality of the school.
Now, Tim Eller, who is a spokesman for the Pennsylvania Department of Education and who responded to an op-ed you wrote for the Post-Gazette, says that your thinking is flawed on this issue. And we invited him to join us on this program. He declined our invitation. In a story, though, by 90.5 WESA reporter Deanna Garcia, here is what he had to say.
It serves as a benchmark of how students are performing across the state against the state's academic standards. But it also measures how schools are educating students.
And again, that's Tim Eller, spokesman for the Pennsylvania Department of Education, assessing the point of this particular standardized test, the PSSA. Now, he says that public schools must be held accountable to students, parents, and taxpayers. And if not the PSSAs or some other assessment, he asks, how else would Ms. Newman suggest we ensure that the $27 billion local, state, and federal taxes Pennsylvania taxpayers put into K through 12 public education is being used to educate our kids?
Public school's been around for a long time. No Child Left Behind has only been around for 11 years. I think there's lots of ways we can check in with the accountability of our schools. Involved parents always know how their school is doing for their children. So I think it's actually flawed thinking on his part and the part on the designers of No Child Left Behind to assume that a standardized test is the best way to measure a school.
If you have a comment or question or would like to join our conversation about the PSSA tests, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That number again, 412-246-2002. Our email address is essspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at essspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Let's go to the phones. We have Grace in Radnor on the line. Grace, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me. In our district in Radnor, Pennsylvania, the district implemented tracking last fall based on standardized test scores rather than classroom performance. Tracking based on PSSAs has led to a resegregation of our classrooms. My son with Down syndrome is in the D track, and his classmates in the lowest track in our predominantly white, upper income school district are low-income, African-American, and English language learners. I'd like to ask Dr. Newman how she suggests parents go about making a change in a district where the most disadvantaged learners end up in the bottom track based on standardized test scores, especially where the school administration and the school board has been deaf to our parent concerns.
I think Grace is raising a really important issue. I know that for me, opting out was a way to try and get the attention of school administrators and district officials. The editorial that I wrote seems to have garnered some attention. So I do think that the opt-out movement is a way to get the attention that Grace is talking about. But she raises a really important point, which is the biggest predictor of a child's success on a standardized test is that child's zip code, parents' income, and parents' education level. So I think what these standardized tests are really showing is where the income gap is, not the achievement gap. So I think what she's seeing is happening in a lot of schools with mixed income kids.
What happens when you opt out? How does that work?
Well, the process is I met with the testing coordinator at my school. I signed a confidentiality agreement saying I wouldn't say what was on the test. And then I wrote a short letter to Linda Lane, the superintendent of Pittsburgh's public schools.
What happens when you opt out? In other words, if you decide not to take the test, then what?
My son has been going to school, and during the three periods of testing, Monday through Thursday, he did some reading, independent reading, and he also worked in the classroom of his younger sister's teacher. It's a kindergarten teacher.
So when he's in class and other students are being prepped for the test, your son does other things during that time?
Oh, my son has endured every horrible, boring, useless minute of test prep this year, but he's not taking the test. So he's missing out on 6 days of testing.
Why do you call standardized tests high-stakes tests?
Well, not all standardized tests are high-stakes. It's only those that grade the school and potentially the teacher.
So the PSSA, you refer to those as high-stakes tests.
That's right.
And why is that?
Because it's tied to the federal legislation of No Child Left Behind. If a school fails to make adequate yearly progress for a certain number of years, it can be declared a failing school, it can be taken over, it can be closed. Real high-stakes, sort of terrifying consequences come to a school that's not testing well on the PSSA.
So there's an impact, and if you opt out of the PSSAs and other standardized tests, how does that impact schools?
Well, I'm not opting my son out of other standardized tests. He'll take a lot of tests this year. In fact, my friend who has a sixth grader, her son is taking 23 standardized tests this year. There's a test called the Terra Nova. There's a test called the Keystones. There's all kinds of standardized tests that our children take. Only this test grades the school for federal purposes.
So is there something that you're hoping to accomplish by opting your child out of these tests and encouraging other parents to do so?
Definitely. At a very rudimentary level, I'm saying no. I'm saying I will not subject my child to stress that's really about the performance of institutions and adults. I'm saying no to the harm that I see this is doing to teachers and to good schools. Ultimately, I am hoping to get the attention of my federal legislators, and I'm hoping to put an end to No Child Left Behind. That's the ultimate goal here.
How many standardized tests does the average elementary, middle, and high school student take in a year?
23 to 30.
And why so many?
That's a great question. I mean, I think one of the things that we've seen ushered in as a result partly of No Child Left Behind is this assumption that testing is the best way to measure our kids. And I know you went to school here in Pittsburgh, and I was reading that your school didn't have enough money for wrestling mats.
That would be invoking part of my personal story, which was so long ago that it may really not be relevant today. But
though I sometimes find that you know, the fact that everybody went to school and a lot of people went to public schools increases people's interest and in awareness of this issue. So I think there's so many things that standardized tests can't show. It can't test creativity, can't test leadership, can't test the way people work together in groups. There's so many things that testing can't show and can't improve. And that's why I'm standing up against them.
And just so everybody has a clear picture of what the alternatives here, if you're saying this isn't the way to go, what is? What should we do instead?
That's why I raised the question of your own schooling, because you and I came up in public schools before these laws were in place. And I have a vague memory of some kind of reading test that was nationally scored. But for the most part, I remember doing – I did a report on George Washington when I was in fourth grade. I remember doing an independent writing project on a painting. I looked at a painting and wrote a short story that I was inspired by that painting to do. When I was in high school, I had a very creative, wonderful teacher. And one of my friends did a board game on nuclear war. He designed a board game to sort of show what would happen if a nuclear bomb went off. These are the kinds of creative, inspiring projects that I would like my kids to have in their school.
So you're saying that we need some out-of-the-box ideas and that some kids may not be test takers. And if that's the case, then that is not the accurate way to measure a child's performance in school.
I think most kids aren't inspired by tests.
Our guest is Kathy Newman, an associate professor of English at Carnegie Mellon, who is opting out of the PSSA for her son, who attends Pittsburgh Linden. Again, that's a K-5 magnet school in Point Breeze. We'd like to hear from you. What do you think is the best way to go, particularly when it comes to your son or daughter? Are you opting out of the PSSAs? And if you think that they're a bad idea, what is your alternative for measuring a student's progress in school? 412-246-2002, the number to call. That's 412-246-2002. Pamela on Twitter writes, one argument given to parents is your kid needs to prep for the SAT. Pittsburgh School District gives 15 standardized tests in fourth grade and 23 tests in sixth grade. That's more than enough prep. What about Pamela's point?
Well, I think the SAT is a little bit of a different kind of test. First of all, I don't think there's evidence to show that doing well on one standardized test prepares you for another because they're all so different. They're written by different people. SAT is obviously about weeding out people who are seen to be unfit to go to college. I myself did not score as well as my peers on the SAT when I was in high school. When I was getting ready to go to graduate school, I took the GRE, the required test for that, and I got an okay score. And so then I spent 3 months prepping for that test, and I bought a book, and I used a CD, and I did all kinds of exercises, and I increased my score by 130 points. I think tests are games, basically. I think any child can be taught to master that game. The question is that the kind of education we want for our young children?
How much of a public school teacher's curriculum is devoted to test prep? Are you aware of any of the backstory on that?
What I'm seeing at my son's school is that it's an increasing share, and that's partly because this test prep comes at a time of devastating budget cuts to the PA education budget, over $1 billion cut that then rolled over to create a real shortage. In my son's school, we lost four teachers. We lost the elementary school band program that my son was going to enter this year. My son can only go to the library once a month at his school. He excitedly told me the other day that he's now allowed to check out two books during that one visit. All these kind of rich extracurriculars, music and science, they're being squeezed. And it's partly because when the budget cuts come down, the thing they can't touch is the test prep itself, as well as the money spent on the test, which is enormous.
And why are there so many more now, so many more tests than there used to be?
I mean, I do think this is part of the educational zeitgeist that gave birth to No Child Left Behind. I'm hoping that we can start pushing the pendulum back in the other direction.
412-246-2002, if you would like to join us in our conversation about the PSSAs. Let's go to Annie in Wayne. Annie, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you so much. I'm really enjoying listening to this. My friends and I here in Wayne have been really working hard about some of the problems that are coming up in our district because of the standardized testing. And I think Dr. Newman has a great point that it's kind of a false, you know, report on the status of the schools, how the schools are doing. In our district, the administration is, I think, making it worse on themselves because they're using these tests as the sole placement criteria for students for advanced classes in middle school. I have a high schooler and two middle schoolers, and it's just so frustrating that kids are working really hard in their classrooms to master the curriculum that the district has put out there, which here in Radnor is very challenging already. They're working hard to try to get good grades, and then in the middle of the semester, you know, right now, they're taking a week out to take these standardized tests that are then going to be the only level of measure to determine if they're placed in honors classes next year. I'm so against it, and I just really applaud Dr. Newman's work, and I'm certainly considering opting my kids out when they come around next year.
And Annie, I identified you as being from Wayne, but you are from Radnor?
That's right. I'm okay. Sorry. Well, Wayne is our town. The school district is Radnor.
Gotcha.
We have a lot of little hamlets here, but they're all under the Radnor Township School District, which is a, you know, affluent, silly suburb where our school is very challenging to begin with. And, you know, we're just having to comply with these state standardized tests. And, you know, Dr. Newman could probably go chapter and verse about the Keystone tests that are coming, too, which are going to be standardized tests that kids in current eighth graders and beyond will have to pass to graduate. And it's just putting so much pressure on the kids, their teachers, and the school to work around these tests instead of using creative curriculum and, you know, learning to love to learn. But they just have to take so much time out to do this. And I just hate that here in Radnor, our administrators are even adding to that pressure by making the tests be the sole criteria for placement in more challenging classes.
Well, Annie, thank you for sharing that story with us. And is that a fairly common tale?
Well, I mean, it sounds like there's some tracking happening in Radnor that I'm not seeing yet here in Pittsburgh. But I think it goes to the question that you keep raising about why are we using tests? And I think we're in this era of big data. You know, we like certainty. We're interested in science. But what's interesting is that a lot of the science about learning says that this kind of testing isn't the best way for kids to really retain and master information. The science on education shows that hands-on projects, students' voices speaking the knowledge, writing about the knowledge, that sort of hands-on group work is what really helps students to retain knowledge over time and not multiple choice tests.
Well, but I do want to – there is, you know, the other argument that the state has on this and that is being articulated by people like Tim Eller, who speaks for the Pennsylvania Department of Education. And again, he is saying that this is about holding educators accountable for students' performance. And so if that's the case, then why would it be unacceptable?
Because it's not a good measure of how the school is doing. The tests can't accurately measure the quality of the school, because what determines the child's outcome has so much to do with the home and the poverty and the income and the zip code and the parental education of that child.
Do you know what the standardized testing situation is in private schools, and are there similar pressures?
One of the ways that parents across the country are opting out of standardized tests is taking their children to private schools where there's no requirement whatsoever.
None at all in private schools.
Correct, because if they don't receive federal funds, they're not required to adhere to No Child Left Behind.
So are you saying that this is really more of an aspect of being accountable, bean counting, if you will, as opposed to education?
I have some friends whose kids go to Winchester Thurston, and I've never heard them say, I need my kid at Winchester Thurston, a wonderful private school here in Shadyside. I need my kids to take a standardized test to know that Winchester Thurston is doing a good job. Never heard a parent say that about that school.
What is the way forward? What would you like to see happen? And out of all of this that you have been advocating for in letters to the editor, Kathy Newman, you've become the face of this fight, whether you have wanted to or not, in many ways in Pittsburgh. So after all is said and done, what do you hope to have happen?
Well, I definitely would like to see No Child Left Behind dismantled. That's a first step. I think we then need to go back to the research and back to the data on what's really going to help schools that are in trouble. I was reading a report this morning that showed that one of the things schools can do is provide some of the social services that can help kids learn the best. So what if we can start to move healthcare centers into the schools, make sure that kids are getting nutritious food in the schools? A kid who's hungry, cold, tired, or unsafe at home cannot learn, no matter how brilliant that student's teacher is. So I would say get rid of No Child Left Behind, address some of the poverty in the communities that's making these schools struggle so much, and then look at the research on education, look at the data on how kids learn best, and go back to the way you and I were educated, where we were inspired to think and challenged to really use our brains.
Before we wrap this up, a tweet from Chris who says, I seem to recall that when Paul O'Neill was in the Bush administration, rather than the one-size-fits-all testing of NCLB, he proposed IEPs, individual education programs for every student, not just the lowest and highest performing students. The IEP serves as a contract for the school, the teachers, the students, and the parents, and would serve as a far better mechanism of improving students' performance. Bad idea or good idea?
I think that's a fantastic point. I was at Occupy the Department of Education a week ago today, last Friday, and there was an expert on early childhood education talking, and she said, you know, some kids learn to walk at 9 months, some kids learn to walk at 15 months. Those are the exact same months that my two different children learn to walk. She said, sometimes you just can't stand that baby up and push. Kids learn at different rates in different ways.
Kathy Newman is an associate professor of English at Carnegie Mellon University, and she has chosen to opt out of the PSSA for her son who attends Pittsburgh Linden. She joined us here in Studio A. Kathy Newman, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
It was my pleasure.
Coming up, you'll learn why Canonsburg is home to a Pop Music Hall of Fame when Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA.